Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are continuing our series, the daily Christian living topic, and I am so excited for today's topic. We're going to do just a very quick reminder of where we've been, what we've talked about, and then go straight into today's topic. And this is Shelley Hancock and Amanda Hancock.
Hello.
Joining you today. And so we are going to dive right in. Amanda, you want to kind of give us a real quick reminder of what we've talked about in the just a couple of the topics we've talked about in the past?
Yeah, so far we have covered, and I apologize, I'm fighting a cold, as you know. So far we've covered death to self.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered purpose.
Yes.
Daily bread. Study. And today we are going to be talking about unity.
Awesome. This is going to be an interesting topic, because whenever we think about daily Christian living, unity is not typically on that list, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, whenever you talk about things that you do on a daily basis, unity is not a thing that you can just check off the list, right?
Yeah,
it's not something you write on your calendar.
Yeah, it doesn't come to mind when you think of how to live.
Yeah, right. But it's interesting. I love how, you know, this is a topic to live out intentionally every day as a Christian. It's essential. It's an essential key to being a Christian, and being part of a church as God has called us to be. And so, as you guys know, if you've been listening to the previous episodes, we are loosely following along the book written by Reverend Carlton L. Coon Sr. His book title is called Daily Things of Christian Living. And so that's the book we're kind of using, and then just having conversations about the topics that he brings out. So that's kind of where we are. Do you want to start us off on some of your thoughts about daily unity?
Yeah, so when I was reading it, I liked he had mentioned two things mm-hmm. about what unity is, it, right? So he gave an example of the Porcupine Church, mm-hmm. right? And so the Porcupine Church, he said, it's really elements have pushed people, Christians, together, but they kind of end up jabbing and like hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is unity by necessity, but that is ineffective for the Lord's work.
Right.
Then he also'd potato unity. And I was like, okay, what's it? Cause I'm already laughing. You know, it's funny, but it's serious at the same time. So potato unity, he said, potatoes, they're in the ground, but they're not united. You can put them in a bucket and they're close together, but they're not united.
Right.
You peel them and they're a little bit closer together, but they're still not united. They don't become united until you cook them and boil them and mash them, and then they become united. So I think it's interesting how he gives two different examples mm-hmm. of just because you are together or close, it doesn't mean
you're unified.
You're united
right.
or you're unified.
Right.
You and I are here.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're unified. Now, we are unified in our purpose.
Yeah.
We are. You and I are in
unity.
We're unified. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we could be doing this and not be, and that would be bad.
Right.
But it was just, I like how he gave different examples. It was nice to have a visual when you're thinking of unity.
Yeah.
So I did like that part in his book.
Yeah, that was a cute story. So you actually used the key word purpose.
Yeah.
That's really what daily unity boils down to. It's not a matter of us being the same or doing all the same things or being all the same people or, you know, dressing the same or talking the same or, you know, whatever, or even being in the same building. That's not unity. You used the key word of unity is having one purpose in mind. And working towards that purpose at all times. And that's so key. Keeping that in mind is sometimes difficult, though, you know, because you get maybe some big personalities in a group or in a church setting, and you sometimes lose sight of what your purpose is.
For sure.
And those personalities might clash or cause some prickly, you know, porcupines.
Some porcupines.
But if we, as Christians and as followers of Christ and as people who go to church, if we can keep that purpose at the forefront of our mind, then I think some of those differences tend to fade away, right? You tend to be able to overlook, you know, other people's quirks or your own quirks or whatever the case may be, and keep that in mind. So
And I think you hit on a good point too, because he had referenced, you know, like some hindrances of being in one accord. And one of the things he said was not knowing what accord means, right? And so you hit it right on the head, right? Not everyone is going to think or act alike, and we shouldn't. Right. We don't want, you know, you don't want that. But he says your strength comes from when your diverse gifts unified towards the purpose.
Right.
Like, we're all built differently. Even twins are built differently. And you're built wonderfully and fearfully made. Mm-hmm. You know, God made you for a purpose. He didn't make you to be like the person next to you. He made you for a reason.
Exactly.
And you have to be you and, you know, work cohesively with everybody else, which it can be difficult to do.
Right.
But we are called to do that.
So you used another key phrase there, the one accord phrase, and that comes straight from the book of Acts in chapter 2. Well, actually, two places really in chapter 2. So at the beginning, it talks about that the people were in the upper room and they were all together in that one upper room. And that's, you know, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And then at the very tail end of that chapter, you know, after Peter preaches essentially the first sermon that initiates the church, they've experienced the new birth salvation. And then at the very tail end of that, the scripture says that they continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. And so those references in chapter 2 of Acts really are where this whole daily unity idea comes from, is having that one mind, that one purpose that we're all working towards, and being united in working towards that goal and that God has given us. So that was the scripture that kind of, for me, is the basis behind daily unity. The other key phrase that you said was our diverse talents and our diversity. And that's, I think, really whenever we can almost, instead of looking at another person's differences, if we almost had a mind shift or a paradigm shift in our thought process of we're diverse instead of different, that might help us, you know, like it's okay that someone else doesn't, you know, vacuum the church with the perfect stripes that I prefer, but, you know, hey, as long as the church gets vacuumed, I know that's a silly example, but it really can sometimes boil down to that. And so being able to embrace the diversity within a church body, that's the key element. Because if we do allow, you know, someone else's differences to hinder us in our unity, then we're not effective. Our ministry or the purpose that we've been called to is kind of dormant, right?
Right. And I think, you know, when we say different in this setting, being different isn't bad.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, Andy and I, you know, we have Lainey, right? We parent Lainey. We parent different, right? So I make her lunches this way. He makes it this way. But at the end result, she still gets lunch, right? Yeah. I like to cut out cute sandwiches for her.
Yeah.
Andy doesn't care if she has hearts and flowers. He doesn't care.
Right.
Right? And I care. That's important to me. It's not to him. And the same thing in a church, like you said, with vacuuming, right? Just because you vacuum differently the way I vacuum, or I start in the back of the church versus the front of the church, as long as the end goal is the same, the end goal is to clean the church. The church should be clean. As long as the end goal is met, it doesn't matter how you get there.
Right.
Truly.
Right.
You know, different isn't bad. It's just different.
Yeah.
What works for you may not work for me, but we still get the same end result. And
exactly.
That's what we're going for.
Well, and not only the end result, but whenever we can set those, you know, preferences aside and develop a relationship with the body of Christ, it completely changes your experience at church.
Yeah.
Whenever you are unified as the body of Christ, you're doing life together, and that's truly apostolic. That goes back to the scriptures, Acts 2, they continued daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. I mean, it wasn't just at the temple, it was house to house. It was gladness. They were joyful in just having those relationships with other people who had experienced the same thing they had experienced.
Yeah.
And that experience, that new birth experience, that's what drew them together. And that's what unified them whenever, you know, initially, and then the fact that they had one goal and one purpose and they worked towards that is what really gave them the bonds of love, essentially.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point, too, is, you know, when we have to put our differences aside and, you know, fellowship with others, that's you dying to self.
Exactly.
That's you,
it goes right back to
putting
that.
Yourself, you are dying to yourself, right? And it, then it's part of what we've talked about.
Yeah.
That's part of you dying to yourself, right? Like you're living it out, and yes, it feels uncomfortable at first. Yes, it feels weird because it's not something we're used to doing. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you like to do what you like to know because it feels good. Routine is great.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes when you're with other people, you don't always get that. And that's okay, right? Different people can bring wonderful things to your life if you open it yourself up and you allow, you know, that in your life.
Right. Well, and so you brought up the, you know, the other topic that we talked about, dying to self. We could even bring up the daily bread. I mean, the scripture even says they were breaking bread. I know that's a literal breaking bread. Yeah. They were eating together. But if we, as the body of Christ, study the Bible together, we read the Bible together, we search the scriptures together, we do those things together, we can learn from each other and grow beyond our, you know, like beyond ourselves. I mean, sitting down and reading the Bible by myself is wonderful. And yes, you do have to do that on a daily basis. But being able, honestly, being able to read this book and study the scriptures with you on this series has challenged me in a different way than it is just sitting and reading the Bible, you know, for my daily bread. And so we can sit down and enjoy a meal physically, and I, you know, that's what we should be doing, but also being able to break bread with a brother or sister in Christ, spiritually speaking, reading the Bible, studying it together, and learning from one another of even just talking about a scripture, sharing your experiences with that scripture or what stood out to you in that set of scriptures or whatever, it brings that other perspective. And whenever you talk about daily unity, being able to see a situation or see something through someone else's eyes, that perspective, having that other perspective is key to continuing with unity. And I think that's actually, you had mentioned hindrances earlier.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hindrances,
that
he talked about, just, you know, being unwilling to see a situation from someone else's perspective. So
yeah, I think that's excellent.
Did you want to maybe mention a couple of those other hindrances? Just so we can kind of
We can touch on
highlight those.
Yeah, so number one was not knowing what one accord means, which we know.
Yep.
Number two can be selfishness or jealousy.
Right. Yep. And we already kind of talked about that, daily death.
Number three is your limited perspectiveness, which we just touched on. Number four, he stated critics. You know what I mean?
Those porcupines.
These are back to your porcupines. And he said, be careful who you listen to.
Right.
It says, for the sake of unity, don't be the person who is perpetually critical.
Right.
It says, look for ways to celebrate and speak positively about the effort of others. And I think in today's society, we are so quick, boom, boom, to be like, well, I didn't like that. Sure didn't. But I mean, if we would be like, I loved how you did that. I loved how that, I mean, could you imagine what we could turn the world upside down?
Oh my goodness,
I mean, which is what they had talked about. You know what I mean? The apostolic, these men turned the world upside down when they went and preached. And I think if we just took out that negativity, instead of being, and I think that's a lot of people's mindset, well, I didn't, sure didn't like that song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't either, but I wasn't going to say it. You know, it's not, I wouldn't put it in my top five.
It
but
doesn't
matter.
Edify, it doesn't encourage.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who does that uplift?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. But we should be like, man, you know what? Shout out to the praise team for showing up. I'm glad they put that work
in. Well, you know, if you don't like the song, then just don't sing it. Just worship, right?
You know? Yeah. So I think if we could get in the mindset of give a shout out before you, you know, give a criticism.
Again, it's that mind shift. It's that, it's the retraining your brain to, you know, look at the positive, which is really truly a challenge in today's society. I'll admit I tend to be a very critical person. And I will admit that, and I know that about myself. And so there are times where I have to consciously, you know, evaluate what I'm going to say. Now, I'll say, you know, there's been times where I've let her rip and I've said things I shouldn't have, you know, I shouldn't have said, but I do try to allow the Spirit to work in my life and, you know, not say things and not only not say them, but almost get to the point where you don't even think it. Because again, if you want to kind of go down a rabbit trail, God looks at the heart. And if you've got a nasty heart, just because you didn't say it doesn't necessarily mean you're unified, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the heart. It comes down to the heart of, am I still critical in my own, you know, of other people in my own mind? And if I am, then you're true. That's not true unity.
Right. And not to jump ahead to evangelism, but I'm going to jump back over here to unity. In that chapter, right? We'll go into that later.
Right.
But there was a portion in the book, and it said, you know what? He said something like, if God forgave your sins, you need to forget. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
Like, we can't be like,
oh,
we are so much better. Like, sure not.
Yeah.
Sin's sin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so I think sometimes when you go back to that, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Man, I mean, I know what I personally, what Amanda Hancock went through personally. I'm not trying to spill all the tea here.
Yeah.
I mean, I know confession's good for the soul. But you know, like, I've already done that with God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've already talked about it. So who am I, you know, to look at, you know, someone next to me, I'm like, oh.
Give
like,
them
you
the
can't
side
do,
eye.
I can't, that's right, I can't side-eye somebody. So I get it.
That's funny.
But I understand why it's quick
right.
to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I understand. The next one, this is called gossip, or as
Lainey
likes to call it, juicy talk. Juicy talk from the 8-year-old. She calls it juicy talk.
That's fantastic.
She doesn't know what gossip means.
So
I said, hey, what's gossip? She's like, I don't know. And then she's like, oh, juicy talk? So
oh,
I call it juicy talk.
Fantastic.
So in this gossip, aka juicy talk.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, listen, this is a really tough one. And he made some good points. He said, it said Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone.
Mm-hmm.
He said gossipers or whisperers. He also said, it says, speaks of other people in such a way as to create a negative image of those individuals.
I think he actually, didn't he almost differentiate between lying and gossiping? Because he's like, gossip may be something true about that person, but if it paints them in a negative light, that's gossip.
Yeah.
And so you might be actually saying something that's true, but still gossiping.
It's still gossiping. Yeah. And he says in here, he said, gossip can be a delightful murmur that entertains, and this really stuck with me. This is verbatim. He said, gossip can be a delightful murmur that entertains the mind, but keep in mind that a serpent is the one so charmed. Are those who enjoy gossip a bit like a serpent?
Goodness, yeah.
I mean, we know who the serpent is.
Yeah.
Shoot, Adam and Eve, they done ate it.
I know.
Terrible. There was no, they were unified, and unfortunately they were unified for the purpose to eat it, something bad happened.
They went the wrong
bad
way.
Unity. Yeah, you know, so we don't want to be like the serpent. We don't. That's not what we want to be like.
Well, and
we don't
actually,
sow discord.
I'm going to kind of go down another rabbit trail. Yeah, we can be unified for the wrong thing.
Sure can.
You know, you can be totally unified, go in the wrong direction. So it is important to know what your true purpose is you know, making sure that it's the right, it's God's purpose, not
And it's funny because I could go down another rabbit hole, but we won't.
Yeah.
But it was very, I'll tell you when we have, when we break bread after this.
I'll tell you.
Good. We'll talk about it later. So that was gossiping. And he said, you know, this was important too. He said, a unifier's motto is, even if I hear it, I'll never say it.
I love that. I love that.
Even if I hear it, I'll never say it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to stop with you. It's going to die with you. It's going to end with you. You know, you heard it.
Yeah.
But it's not coming from your lips, and it's not spread out for the world.
And
I do like that.
That's a tough, I mean, I will admit, sometimes it's, you get caught in that. It's almost like a trap, you know, of, well, I'm not lying. I'm just telling, you know, I'm just telling, sharing this so that someone else can pray with me. It's like, nah, no, you don't need to.
Yeah. You can tell. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And he gave four rules on how we should speak. He said, do not repeat. Do not yield to temptation. Do not gossip. Do not smear them, no matter how much you disagree.
Right.
And that can be really tough, because I think when people feel like they are wrong, and he gave a really tough example in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, and that
is his personal example.
Yeah, it was really hard.
Yeah.
And to see how horrible he was done, to his parents were done, and then to still go to church and, I love you, brother.
Yeah.
And pray for that person.
Oh, yeah.
That is tough.
Well, and if you've been in a group of people long enough, even in church, even in a group of Christians long enough, you will be the recipient of, you know, someone else's gossip. You will be the one that's being gossiped about. And if you're not, you might be the one that's gossiping. So
doing the juicy talk.
Yourself.
Don't be a part of the juicy talk. Walk away.
There's a lot of scriptures, even throughout the New Testament, Romans and a couple of other ones.
Proverbs.
That talks about, you know, mark them who cause division and those people who are whisperers or gossipers. It even addresses women, I think, specifically about not to be talebearers, and the older women are supposed to train the younger women not to essentially gossip.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, because the scripture says that specifically, it's interesting to me that's a topic that the scripture actually says to teach this, you know, to the younger generation. So.
Yeah. So that was juicy talk.
Okay.
Six was intolerance, which we talked about, right?
Yep.
Where you don't like songs at church,
or
you don't like the way someone vacuumed, or you don't like that they sat in that pew. We got to get past it. That does nothing. Number seven, unforgiveness. This really hit Luke 17:1. Offenses will come.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
So we know. You've already been told. You know it's going to happen.
Yep.
And it says, it isn't easy to forgive.
Right.
And Jesus didn't say it would be, but prayer is needed.
Exactly. Yeah, forgiveness is not something that I truly believe that forgiveness is not something that can be given without the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
We as humans are built to hold on to things, I think. I mean, I know there's other personalities that don't, you know, necessarily, but I think that there's always still a little bit of that mark in a person. And I think true forgiveness has to come from the work of the Spirit in your life.
Yeah.
And it's something that you'll continue to do. Forgiveness is not a one and done. It's a continual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So those were the hindrances that we talked about to unity.
Yep.
I wanted to bring up just one more topic, just in maybe kind of putting a little bit of skin on the bones, so to speak, of what we've already talked about. And it's a word that people tend to shy away from. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's the word meekness. I think that we have a misconception of what meekness is, and that's meekness with an M, not weakness with a W. And those two things aren't, to me, meekness is not the opposite of weakness, or it's not even related to. We tie those two words together, I think, so often, but I don't think they're related at all. Whenever you are a meek person, you have the ability to control the power that you have. You have the ability to control your strength or your authority or your whatever for the benefit of others. And so if you think about weakness, that's just simply a lack of strength.
Yeah.
To me, meekness is the most strength you can get. I mean, almost, you know, you have to have that control and that strength over your own heart and mind and spirit to be able to be a meek person, which ultimately is for the benefit of others, and it will bring unity.
Yeah, and I think too, meekness is, I would say that is a mature Christian.
100%.
Because it's very easy. Very easy to be petty.
Oh, yeah.
Very easy to do those things.
Right.
And it takes a mature Christian to be like, you know what? I've seen this before.
Yeah.
If we go down this road, I know how it's going to end.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do the right thing. And it's always harder to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's hard.
Yeah.
But I think with meekness, that's where you're going to see your mature Christians shine. That's where you're gonna be like, all right,
it truly is.
Understand.
Yeah,
that's a good example, because I went through that,
yeah,
and I saw how they acted,
yeah,
and I'm gonna have to be meek,
yeah,
so I can become,
yeah,
you know, mature and bear that fruit. And yeah, we can only do that with the Holy Ghost. There's as much as we want to, and and I love that people, like, I want to, there's just some things that you just have to have. You have to have his Spirit in you.
100%. Yeah, you have to. I agree. Yeah. And I think meekness is one of those kind of underrated, lesser talked about fruit of the Spirit, because it is so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because, again, going back to the daily dose of death, you know, you are dying out to yourself.
Yeah.
You're saying, my stuff right now is not as important as maintaining unity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough journey. I am by no means even, you know, maybe one or one and a half steps into that journey, you know, it's one that I just keep coming back to. And I know people say, be careful what you pray for, but I truly pray for meekness. I truly pray for those fruit of the Spirit to be growing and rooted in my life, because without it, then, you know, really, what's the point? I mean, you're not going to be what God has called you to be without being unified to the body and staying connected and encouraging and uplifting one another. We are called to be part of a church. We are called to be the church, and the church is a collective body, not just, you know, little pockets in this city and this city, and it's the collective church. And, you know, ultimately, you think about the scripture says that whenever Jesus returns to earth, he is coming back for the church, for the bride of Christ. Yeah. He's not coming back for individuals. He's coming back for the church.
Yeah.
And so we got to be unified with, we've got to be connected to the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's, you know, it's all for naught.
Yeah. You don't want to be the one sowing discord.
Exactly.
That's not what you want to do. You don't want to be the one to cause division.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because, you know.
That's blood on your hands.
You know. I mean, like you said, you know, you can be unified, but are you unified for good or are you unified for evil?
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, the Bible gave examples of unified for evil.
Yeah.
Where to get them?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve. Kicked out of the garden. Yeah. Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Who was the one? I want to say Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lied about the money. Death. Yeah. Boom. He died. Boom. She died. Death. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying if you're unified in something evil, you're going to die. But more than likely, the end result isn't going to be lovely.
Well, and it's going to be probably spiritual death. I mean,
yeah. Right? So, like, you don't want to unify in doing wrong. You want to unify in loving God, loving your brothers, loving your sisters, being
lifting
one accord,
another up,
championing them. You know, you want to weep with them when they leap. You want to rejoice with them when they rejoice.
Exactly.
You know, and
be
really
each other's cheerleaders.
Yes. You know, and we all want to see.
Yeah.
We all want to go to heaven. We all want our loved ones to go to heaven. We all want to walk on the road path with gold. I'm always like, God, I don't need a mansion. I just want to make it. You know, and I don't even, I'll clean everything. I just want to make it. God, I don't need the crown. I just want to make it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what, right. That is our purpose, is to seek and save the lost.
Right.
We want to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
We want to love others the way God loved people.
Right.
You know, we want to, it's about Jesus. It's all about him at the end of the day.
He's the
furthering
center.
His kingdom, and
he's the center of it all.
He's the focus. That's who we need to be.
Yep.
Have our unified purpose in.
Love it. So. That's all I've got. What about you?
That's all I got, sister. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you guys so much once again for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's episode, and we pray that you go forth and live a daily Christian life and exceed and excel in daily unity with the body of Christ.
Amen.